יאלו לב טוב, עין טובה, מחשבה טובה והרבה הרבה שמחה. הרבה 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 שמחה. התכוננת על מקומו ועוד מעט ואין רשע.
All right, folks, you are listening to the Yishai Fleischer Show, broadcasting live from Judea. I'm back in the Holy Land. Thank you, Lord, for helping me make it through a great trip in the United States and healthy and sound back in the Holy Land. Made it through the various blockades. I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course, but there's a type of blockade of flying in and out of the United States now, the so-called Corona blockade. My thoughts on this is that it's a little too draconian, these measures. I think that there's medicines. I think that there's hospitals that should be built. I think that there's should not be closures of this magnitude. I think people should be tested. That's fine. I think they should be healed. I think that this sickness, for the most part, is not as dangerous. Of course, it has a danger and should be treated, but I don't believe in these wide sweeping closures. I just think it's exaggerated. But be that as it may, I was able to make it to the United States and back from the United States back to the Holy Land. I got to see the beautiful state of Texas, the beautiful state of Florida, Nevada, and Las Vegas, and got to meet great Jewish community there as well. And then from there to New York City, got to see the Altaheim, the old land, the old home, and it was also good. And it was just great to meet people, connect with people, and give people strength, get strength. People say to me, what do you do on these trips? And I always say, I do the same thing every time. I give out sparks, and I collect sparks. That's what I do. I have sparks to give. I have sparks to get. And that's my job out there. So I give my speeches, give my talks, meet with people, give people strength, and pick up strength, pick up donations, pick up connections, pick up the next place that I'm going to speak at next time. So it's a lot of fun. And in fact, when I get off recording now, I'll reach out to the friends in Vegas. I had a very good connection there, and I'd love to go speak there. We have an awesome Torah portion, which is, it's really awesome. It's the beginning of the book of redemption, the book of Shemot. And we're going to meet the exile. We're going to meet the slavery. And then we're also going to meet Moses, the Redeemer. Indeed, we're going to meet Moses, the great Redeemer. And first we learn that Pharaoh, there's a new Pharaoh in town, and he wants to get rid of the Jews one way or another. He's afraid of them. The Egyptians are afraid of them. And he comes up with this plan. And the plan is a plan of genocide, or what is it, babycide, fratricide, whatever it is, the killing of children. I don't think that's the right word. What is the right word? I think there's a word called pedicide or infanticide. These are words of, anyway, they're bad words. And they're about what was happening there, which is the killing of children and the killing of the boys. And then we have the story of the two midwives. According to the Medrash, they're Jewish. According to more simple reasoning, they are Egyptians who are part of the Egyptian kind of court, and they themselves refused, and we're not going to be part of the plan to kill the Jewish babies. If you think about it, we really meet these Shifrin Pua and Batya or Bitya. And this is the daughter of Pharaoh, and they are all not into the killing of the Jewish babies. By the way, three women. And in general, you're going to meet also Yocheved, the mother of Moses, and you're going to meet Miriam. And there's a lot of Jewish heroines. So the beginning of this book starts with Jewish heroines who bring about the Jewish hero Moses. But like the picture is, at the beginning of this book, is like Jewish and non-Jewish women, maybe, who are saving the planet. They are protecting the world. And that's just an important kind of thought to have, which is the book of Shemot starts with the strength of women who will not allow such a evil, dastardly plan to ruin the world. And we have this great story about Moses being in a little tiny ark, right? He's in a floating tiny, what do we call it, little tub that protects him. And that, and I've mentioned this many times on the show, that reminds us of Noah, Noah's Ark. Noah also floated on top of the world and was saved by God and remembered by God, and so too Moses. And in this case, it was not God that opened the little ark, but it was an Egyptian woman, a daughter of Pharaoh, an important person who maybe already was on the path of finding the true God, and reaches out and opens it, and she calls the child that she sees there, she calls him Moshe, which means in Egyptian, in ancient Egyptian, means son, like S-O-N, like my son. But God adds in that I pulled him out of the water, and that's exactly what Moses' character is going to be, is that he's going to be a puller-outer. He's going to puller-outer out of danger. He's going to pull the Jewish people out of various dangers. We have, right at the beginning, the first act of Moses, other than kind of surviving, is that he goes out and he leaves the castle, seemingly. It doesn't even say that he leaves the castle. It says, Vayitzeh lechav, he goes out to his brothers. What does that mean? It means that from his subjective viewpoint or from an objective viewpoint? Does that mean the Torah is saying that that these are his brothers and he doesn't know it? Or does it mean that he's going out to meet his brothers? We don't really know. But one way or the other, he's going out to meet the Jewish people, and he sees their hardships. And he's Vayar ish Mitzri makeh ish Ivri me'achav. He sees an Egyptian man hitting a Hebrew person from his brothers. Vayifen kovacho, he turns this way and that way. Vayar kien ish, he sees that there is no person. Vayachet haMitzri, he hits the Egyptian, and this in meaning to say he kills him. Vayatminehu bachol, and he buries him or hides him in the sand. The phrase vayifen kovacho, he turns this way and that way, has many, many interpretations, and I'll give you three, because there's really at least three great ways of understanding it. One way is that the simple way, which is he looks to see, is anybody looking? And what though he is looking to see if anybody else is looking, what he doesn't know and that he's going to find out is that the Jew that's saved is a talk about it. He's a talker, and maybe not even a great guy, because the next day, maybe very well that he accuses Moses of killing the Egyptian, and he's not really built for revolt and revolution because he's a blabbermouth. And so he turns this way and that way, but he doesn't understand that the Jew that he's saving is actually a guy that could easily divulge the information of who the culprit was, and it was Moses. So he turns this way and that way looking for Egyptians, but he doesn't understand that he's in danger when he's doing the act from his fellow Jew. But in simple terms, he is looking to see if there's anybody watching. Fine. That's one explanation. Another explanation is much more mystical, which is he looks throughout the generations and he sees that this Egyptian has nobody meritorious in his line before or after. And he kind of understands that that smiting him it's the right thing to do. And it won't destroy something precious in this world, because we also know that many times even arch criminals have great people that come from them. And the Gemara gives a lot of examples of the sons of Haman, for example, of Haman, who became great Torah learners in Bnei Brak, in the land of Israel. So he sees, he looks deeply and he sees that there is no redeeming value to this Egyptian. And the last one, which I only heard a few years ago, which I like a lot, is that he actually turned this way and that way, meaning to say he had to decide, what am I, Moses? What am I? Am I an Egyptian or am I Hebrew? I have to turn this way and that way. And he saw that if he doesn't make a decision, nothing's going to come out of him. Vayarki and Ish, you'll understand that there's no pathway to try to walk the middle road, but rather you're going to have to decide who indeed you are, Moses. Are you an Egyptian or are you a Hebrew? And so he decides. He decides to be a hero. He decides to be a Jewish hero. However, next day, so that's three explanations on Vayif and Kovachov. Next day is that he finds out that when he's trying to protect one Jew from hurting another Jew, he realizes, oh gosh, the one Jew says to him, are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? And he realizes that the information has been divulged, and he had to run away. He had to run away from Egypt. The next scene is very important. First thing, you know what? Let me take one step back. This moment when he realizes that the Jew is willing to sell him out is the moment of Jewish politics. It's like, are you going to enter this fray of Israeli politics and the situation? Don't you understand that these Jews are a really tough lot? And so the Torah gives us a moment where it's like, where Moses has to ask himself, like, do I really need this? Do I need to deal with these people? And the Torah lays out the story in such a way that anybody would ask themselves, like, do you really want to start defending these people and helping these people? They're gonna strike at you immediately. You're going to be called out personally. And indeed, they call out Moses many times in the story of the Torah. And he's got a personal cost that he has to face when dealing with the Jewish people. Next step is that he actually goes to Midian and he rescues the girls, these young ladies that are shepherdesses. He rescues them from the hand of strangers. And I always ask people, I'm like, if you're Moses, would you really get involved in this like shepherding battle of who deserves the water at the well? I would say, don't get involved. You're a stranger. And anyway, if you're going to get involved, might as well just side with the strong men instead of these weak women, especially in that time, right? It's like, why side with these people that are, you know, look, these other guys, they're men, and they're obviously have the upper hand in society. Why protect these women? And you don't even know the backstory. Maybe there's a backstory. Maybe their father stole that water from them. Who knows? But the beauty of Moses is that he is impetuous for justice. He is willing to fight for his truth, even though he's not even, you know, in that fight. He gets himself into that fight. And I think that when God sees that, when he sees basically these three incidences, which is one, to protect the Jew from the Egyptian, then to try to stop Jewish fighting, and then finally to even protect these strange non-Jewish women in a land that he's a foreigner in, God sees in the character of Moses an amazing character trait of a person who is just burning for justice. And then God reveals himself in the burning bush. I was recently in the desert. Maybe you heard that show. And when I was in the desert, I saw one of these desert shrubs. And I recalled that many times when I spent time with the Bedouins, they would break down those very desert shrubs, break them into little pieces, and light them on fire. And you know what? Those desert shrubs are amazing burners. They burn so fast, so hot, and it gets eaten up in a second. It's a great fire starter, a kindler. What I realized is that when Moses sees the burning bush and it's not eaten, that's why he's so surprised. It's like, wait a minute, this should be eaten much faster. I know what this thing is. I'm a desert person. And he realizes that it's not eaten, and he's fascinated by this constant energy, right? And if you think about it, that is a great mystery of this world, the constant energy of this world. Where does it come from? Why do atoms, why do the electrons spin around the protons? Why do the planets spin around the sun? Why does the solar system, you know, spin around? Where does this energy come from? And so the question of the endless energy of the world and where it begins and where it ends is a scientific question. It's a question that a man of a searcher will ask. And then there's a different explanation, which I like a lot, which is, and I read this in the Netivot Shalom, which is, the greatest mystery in the world, the greatest social mystery in the world, is the survival of the Jewish people. And Moses is like, you know what? These Jewish people should have been eaten up by the slavery of Egypt. They should have been destroyed. They should have been annihilated. They should have been assimilated. How is it that they don't succumb to it? How is it that they survive? And so that's what Moses' question is. He's like, how is it that they survive? What is the mystery? What is the secret of the Jews? And that, of course, is the question that Mark Twain asked, I think, in those words, like, what is his secret? What is the secret? How does the Jew survive? And, you know, maybe I'll find you that to quote. Right. So it goes like this. It goes, the Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burnt out, and they sit in twilight now or have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal, but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? Asks Mark Twain. And that is maybe the question that Moses is fascinated by when he sees the burning bush. How is it that this bush is not eaten? How is it that the Jewish people are not eaten away by some force that has taken away all these other great peoples? What is the source of Jewish continuity? And I believe that the one way of analysis of Jewish immortality is actually through the let me say it again. One way of analyzing the Torah's laws is through, do they promote immortality or not? Shabbat, sexual ethics, eating certain foods, etc., are in many ways, to me, one of the purposes of these commandments is the goal of Jewish immortality. The word immortality is a tricky word. Maybe it means something different today than it meant back then. But you know what I mean. The non-destruction of the Jewish people throughout time. And that's the way many times I'll analyze a mitzvah. I'll be like, oh, this contributes. And people like be like, do we need kashrut or this and that? Do we need this? I'm like, you know, oh, it was only because there was no refrigeration and all kinds of silly thoughts like that. I'm like, no. See, there's a death energy in this kind of eating, and there's a non-death energy in this kind of eating. And in general, the Jewish concern is to keep death energy off. And that's what, and when you're thinking about that in terms of many things, let's say, for example, relationship ethics, sexual ethics, rites for the dead, how it's treated, for example, not bringing Kohanim into the graveyard, for example, or when yes, it's just a constant concern, which we don't usually vocalize, we don't usually verbalize, but the concern is how to make sure that we are free of death energy. And there are many ways. And of course, the ultimate of that is the red heifer. The Parah Adumah is the ultimate way in which we do not succumb to the energy of death. And so that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is looking at right here. He's concerned, he's surprised, he is mystified by a Jewish survivor like Mark Twain. And then God will come to him and tell him, well, yeah, it's me, and I need you to do something for me, and I need you to go set the I need you to do a job for me. I'm the Redeemer, and you're the Messiah. I need you to go do the earthly job, so it's an earthly game and not just a heavenly game. There's a few extremely famous phrases here. One of them is when the name of God. It says, "Vayomer Moshe el Elohim." Moses said to the God, "Hine anochi ba bnei Israel. I'm going to come to the children of Israel. Ve'amalti elohim, Elohe avotechem, shalchani elohim. I'll tell them, the God of your forefathers sent me to you. Vayomru li, and they'll say to me, excuse me, ve'amru li, and they'll say to me, Mashmo, what's his name? Ma'omar elohim, what should I tell them?" This business of the name, it's a very interesting thing. And also, you know, Pharaoh says later, like, I don't know what this name is. I don't know what this God is. What's his name? It's a very interesting question. You know, kind of, I don't know if we relate to it very well. Like, why do I need to know the name so much? Maybe the name really means, like, the name, maybe what they mean is, well, you know, like in Greek, you know, the Greeks, they had a god of, you know, travelers and god of the weather and god of the water and god of the sea and god of the sun and god of war. Like, what's your god of what? And God says to him, well, if you're going to ask me like that, then I guess the answer is I will be. I will be that which I will be. And you cannot exactly, you'll not exactly understand, because it's a little too, like, you cannot limit me to, I'm the God of the chairs, or I'm the God of the tables, or I'm the God of the seas, or I'm the God of the skies. I'm bigger than that. And you're not going to fathom it just that easily. And so therefore the answer is, hey, yeah, tell them that which I will be. But I also really like the Rashi here. And it's a very beautiful Rashi. For some reason, I don't think it's very famous, but I love it. He says, Heyeh asher heyeh, I will be that which I will be. Heyeh imam, says Rashi, Heyeh imam b'tzara zu, asher heyeh imam b'shibud shar malchuyot. I will be with them in this predicament what I will be with them in their subjugation by other kingdoms and predicaments. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, ma ani maskir lahem tzara acheret, dayam b'tzara zu. Moses says to him, God, why should I tell them about further problems when they're just dealing with this problem? Amar lo yafe amarta, you've spoken well, and therefore say to them, my original intention, which is that just tell them Eheyeh has sent me, which means that you know, like I said before, like the God that's the big God, the God that's going to take care of the things that this is my plan. I think really that's the underlying theme here, which is this is the plan. This is the way it works. I get like atheists, Jewish atheists, obviously, writing to me on Twitter. They're like, why does God do this and why does God do that? And they have all these claims. And in Egypt, they could be like, well, why did he send us into slavery? And why do we need this whole thing? And God says, hey, yeah. But the first one, the Rashi answer, let's just stop on that for just 1 second and kind of like contemplate that. God says to Moses, tell them, I'm with you in your troubles now and I'll be with your troubles later. If you think about it, that's an answer to what we were talking about before, which is the eternity of the Jewish people, which is I'll be with them in this hardship and I will be with them in other hardships. And that's the way I plan the world. If you think about it, it dovetails, which is I'm the God that you can't exactly understand. I have a plan and I'll be with you and you're going to be a people of hardships. And I'll be with you in this hardship and I'll be with you with other hardships. I want to recommend everybody that listens to the show to just say to themselves, to say the words, Eheyeh asher eheyeh. And allow those words to sweep over you and let these words say to you, God is with me in my troubles. He's got a plan for me. He has a plan for our people and for this time and for this generation. And his name is Eheyeh. He will be fulfilled. He will make his plan come to fruition. I can trust him. He will be with me in this hardship and in the next hardship. And there's something in these words that if you just say it, it's incredibly, it gives you a lot of strength. It gives you a lot of strength, a lot of faith. Faith gives you strength. Eheyeh asher eheyeh. Tell them Eheyeh has sent for them. Eheyeh is with us. And he's not just in the now, he's in the future. It's always moving forward. And it's got a vision. It's got a future. And that's his name. His name is Eheyeh. And you can lean on that name. However, that's the Eheyeh name. But God also adds another name, which is one of the most beautiful verses. Write the next verse. Vayomer od. God says another thing, though. Elohim el Moshe. God says one more thing. There's another thing I want to tell you, which is, Kotomar bnei Yisrael. Tell the children of Israel, Hashem. Elohe Avotechem, Hashem, the name of God, which is the God of your forefathers, Elohe Avraham, the God of Abraham, Elohe Yitzchak, the God of Isaac, Elohe Yaakov, the God of Jacob, Shalchani Elechem, he has sent me to you. Ze Shmi Le'olam, this is my name for eternity, Veze Zichri Le'dor Do, and this is my name from generation to generation. So, what's the name? He says, my name is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That's my other name. So, so here you have the division between Jerusalem and Hebron, right? Jerusalem, that's the Eheyeh name. right? That's the name I will be, and I will build that third temple, and things will be in the future. There's a Messiah, and there's a vision, and the great things that are coming. And then there's also the pillar of the past. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Interesting that you would have thought that it would be reversed, the order. It would be like, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That's the pillar. And in the future, I will be this. But interestingly, it doesn't go that way. And I've seen that pattern a few times, which it's like I have a great vision. So you can trust me. You can follow me. But by the way, I'm based in this promise that I made back then. And maybe we don't have the space today to discuss that fully. But the idea is that there's this tension between Jerusalem, which is the future-based city, and Hebron, which is the eternal covenant city with the forefathers and mothers. There's so much more to discuss, but I don't want to overburden you. And first thing I want to tell you so much, what a pleasure it is to be with you. And I'm sending you my love here from my room. I've been in quarantine, bedewed. I call it administrative detention. I've been in administrative detention. Today's my last day, hopefully, if I pass my exams and show that I'm not about bioterrorist, then I will be clean. No, but the truth of the matter is I'm all for testing. That's fine. And that's a great way to get people not to infect others. Fine. But I am, thank God, mostly healthy and feeling good. And it was a great trip. And I'm glad to be back home. And I can't wait to rejoin society out there. And I'm thankful to Hashem for my good house and my good room and my great family. God bless them. I want to thank you all for being with me here. I want to thank all the new people that have become coffee drinkers with me, have bought me a cup of coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Yishai. And have bought me a coffee as their way of supporting the show. It's incredibly touching and moving. And I want to thank all of you out there for joining. And those who haven't joined, consider buying me a cup of coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/Yishai. And you can go to YishaiFleischer.com. And there's a button there as well, which is buy me a coffee. It's really a fun and easy way. And I've had two coffees today, although not like real coffee beans, but rather all kinds of fake stuff that I've been drinking as coffee alternatives. But doesn't matter. It's still a coffee, for God's sakes. So I want to thank you very much. And I want to thank all the other people that make this show possible and happen. First and foremost, it's you, the listeners. Without you, then, you know, nothing would matter. And so I would love I would like to ask you, and I would love if you would give our show a high star rating. I don't want to say five stars. You know, however many stars you think we deserve, that would be great. And also share it with your friends and share it on your social media platforms if you think the show is worth it. Thanks so much. The other folks I want to thank is the good folks at Prohibition Pickle. Prohibition Pickle make a great pickle and a great Shabbos treats. And I haven't had my Prohibition Pickle fix for a long time, so it's time to get fixed up with that. And it's a great way to send a gift to somebody you love here in the land of Israel. And Chaim does a great job. Check out his Facebook page and his Instagram page, Prohibition Pickle. Check out the good folks at we have so many more sponsors, and they've dropped off a little bit off my radar. I got to get back to them. For example, yesterday Simcha Gluck was here, and he's the purveyor of great creams and health products called Jerusalem Salves. And if you go to Jerusalem Salves and you type in a coupon code Yishai, boom, you will get, I think, 10% off. And you'll get great salves from the land of Israel. You'll be putting those salves back on your body. That's really cool and neat. Highly recommended that you use that kind of products that are not only benefiting you, but bringing you the land of Israel to your house, to your skin, to your body. Of course, I want to thank the great folks at Hebron Fund. That's the tomb of the patriarchs and matriarchs. That's the Jewish community of Hebron, the world's oldest Jewish community. Please continue to support us by going to Hebron Fund. And we have a big fat campaign coming up, and your help is desperately needed at this time to strengthen our yearly campaign and to make sure that we continue strong. We've continued for 3,500 years, and let's make it 3,501 with your help. And what else? And, of course, JewishPress.com. They put out a great product, a great email, and they feature the Yishai Fleischer Show and other great shows. So check that out. There's many more sponsors. I got to get back to my list and find them. The number one sponsor, of course, is Hashem. And thank you very much, God, for this opportunity. And thank you to Moshe Herman, Ben Bresky, Tabitha, Yocheved, and Lou for getting the show out to the world. Thank you very much, and God bless you guys. And finally, just one last thought before I leave you here. And we are going to go to the Yishai and Malka section. That's right. Malka Fleischer is back, and she is going to give us the Malka strength. There's nobody like Malka to give us that koach. But before I do, just one last Torah thought on this Torah portion of Shemot. It's an amazing pasuk, and that is chapter 4, verse 12. God says to him, Moses, I want you to go and be my emissary. Vata, and now, lech, go. Venochi ayein picha, I will be with your mouth. Ve'roticha asher tedaber, I'll tell you how to speak. And Moses told him beforehand, I'm heavy of speech. And my explanation is heavy of speech doesn't mean he's a stutterer, and the Rambam is totally against this idea that he's a stutterer, and I'm totally against that idea. What he means is, you know, man, when I speak a little too heavy. I'm not a schmoozer. I am not a small talker. I don't know how to, you know, get people on my side. I talk straight truth. I'm a straight talk. I got the Straight Talk Express. Straight Talk Express, is that one of the buses from, what was his name, when he was campaigning? In any case, I'm not good at getting people to follow me because I'm just a kind of a loner and I talk straight. And God says, don't worry. First thing is I'll help you talk. And the other thing, I'm going to send you the diplomat. That's Aaron. And people are going to really love him. And don't worry. So we will have a team for you. You won't be alone. But then Moses says, you know what? Still, shlach na biyad tishlach. Send somebody else. Send it send somebody else. But these words, shlach na biyad tishlach, send somebody else. It's a mistranslation what I said. That's the explanation, but not the translation. It really means shlach na, please send, biyad, in the hand of, tishlach, please send, or send somebody, or send a sender. It's not really clear exactly, but I found an explanation which I love so much. You know, Elijah the prophet has other names. One of his names is Tishlach, because it says, Hine anochi sholeach lachem et Eliyahu ha-navi. Here I send to you the Elijah the prophet, and so I'll send it to you. That's God's promises that he'll send you Elijah the prophet. So one of his names, according to the Midrash, is Tishlach, the one who sent, the one you sent, the one you will send. And so he says, Shlach na biyad tishlach. Don't send my geula, the Moses geula. Send the final geula. Make this geula be the last geula. That comes back to which is I'll be with you in the various troubles that you'll be with. Moses is like, forget it. Send the final geula already. And God says, no, it's not time for that yet. It's time for the Moses geula. Well, we need a geula in every generation, and we certainly need one right now. And I want to bless you, and I want to ask you for one more favor, if you don't mind. Write me an email, yishai@yishaifleischer.com. And I also want to ask, if we have any people out there that want to be volunteers as part of the Yishai Fleischer Projects Network and Kuma and Chevron, please write to me about that. Are you good with graphics? Are you good with SEO? Are you good with organization? Are you good with contact organization? Are you good with are you interested in organizing road trips? Please send me an email, yishai@yishaifleischer.com, and we'll be much, much happy to hear from you. And I want to send you blessings from the land of blessings. And I'm going to take a tiny little break, and I'm coming right back with the none other than the great hostess with the mostest, Malka Fleischer. Stay tuned. More great stuff is on the way, and blessings from the land of blessings, and shalom. All right, folks, we're back here on the Yishai Fleischer Show, joined by Malka Fleischer.
Yay.
Malka, welcome back to the show. God bless you.
Thank you. Welcome back from your trip.
Thank you very much. You know, Malka, I've been less pushy about American Aliyah for the last few years. And that's because I came to the conclusion that my job is to not make people feel distant from me and not to turn people off to Israel by giving them only one option of Aliyah, and like also showing them that that's like the ultimate option, and if you're not there, you didn't measure up, right? And so I changed my whole tack in life to be more like, my job is to connect you. My job is to help you feel more connected to the land of Israel, and I'm going to recommend to you drinking wine from the land of Israel, and I'm going to recommend to you putting up a picture of the land of Israel in your house. And in general, the idea was that that I wanted to tell people, we got to build it together, wherever your station in life is. And I'm not going to shtip them over the head with, like...
I don't think you would shtip people over the head.
Bop them over the head with like, Aliyah is the only message. And so that's like a change that went over in my heart. But I want to tell you something, that I've had a certain change of heart in the last few weeks.
Oh, really?
Not exactly a change of heart, but it's all a question of tactics. It's a tactical thing. Oh, I forgot to say that the most successful message that I've had is the wine. But the other one, and
what do you mean? Like things that people I say to do that people start to do?
Right, that people do, and people tell me years later
that they like it,
that they do it,
and that it changed
their life. People stopped me on this trip, and they were like, "I heard you speak years ago somewhere, and you said you got to drink Friday night wine from the land of Israel, and I've been doing that for the last 7 years, and it's changed my life." Things like that, people like that.
It could be grape juice from the land of Israel. Also.
Well, yeah, but that's harder to find in the stores. But
that's probably true.
But the other thing that I tell people now, and people are all like, "Yes, you're right." I'm like, "Buy an apartment. Just buy an apartment. Get a piece of the rock. Just get a piece of property.
A nice studio. You can Airbnb it out
or whatever." And people, you know, Airbnb. Everybody's got a kid that they want to put in there. Whatever it is. The point is that I say that to people. But I've had a small change in the last few weeks. I've come to a realization that there's a force out there that wants to keep the Jews out of the land of
Israel.
What,
this just occurred to you?
It occurred to me that part of this corona blockade and part of different things that are happening. Like, for example, after the BLM riots in America, there was like a wave of interest in Israel.
Right.
Immediately after that,
yeah,
there was our own riots in the Jewish Arab cities.
Right.
As if to say, oh, don't look here. It's the same.
No. Yeah.
And when I was just in Florida now, God bless it, I saw how attractive, you know, it is. And I heard from everybody that there's this wave of New Yorkers and Californians moving to
Florida,
to Miami and Miami area, South Florida. And, you know, that includes Boca and all that. And so I was like, wait a minute. There's this. And other people told me that there was a wave coming to Israel of Aliyah. And it kind of got like
subdued
and
dissipated.
I had a vision.
Diverted.
That was the word. I had a vision of which Greek god diverted the rivers into the stables.
Sorry,
I think it was Atlas.
I'm low on my.
I think it was Atlas that diverted the
rivers.
I'm
not brushed up on that.
No. Okay. We got to get back into our Greek mythology.
Yeah,
in any case,
okay.
That was a joke. In any case, I was just like. There's a force that wants to stop Jews from coming home, and I've always known that.
Yes.
But like a real Jew, there's something in me which is contrarian.
Yes.
And when you sense that, like, they want to stop you from coming home, that's when it's time to say, like, hey, we won't let you stop us from coming home. And there's people that want to come home right now, this is the time to do it. If you had a dream in your heart, if you ever thought about it, if it's calling you, this is the time.
Well, we always felt that Jews should come home to the land of Israel. It's just a matter of... you know, maintaining warmth and love with people who didn't decide to make Aliyah. And you can't just like turn your back on your brothers and sisters who didn't make that decision. But you and I, we've always stood very strongly for Aliyah. And every year we meet another person who, or another many people who made Aliyah, who are listeners of the Yishai Fleisher show, and say that they were listening and that it helped make give them the push to make Aliyah. But if anyone's ever asked us to make Aliyah, we've always said, absolutely, you should make Aliyah.
Of course.
And that's with all the issues. That's with all the politics. That's with all the Bennett coalitions, Rom Party, Gaza, Corona, whatever it is that you got. We always felt that we could look people square in the eye and say, of course you should make Aliyah.
But this blockade
what blockade are you referring to?
I'm talking about the impossibility of now American Jews to come to Israel. You can't come on a pilot trip. You can't check it out. You can't see your...
Now, basically, go backwards. Basically, when you're listening, we don't know when it is that people are listening to this show. So if you're listening to the show, we're talking about that Israel has dubbed the United States a quote-unquote red country, which means that you're not allowed to go there and you're not allowed to come back from there, basically. I mean, they can't really stop you from going there in reality. Like, you could fly to Canada and then go to the United States. But you cannot fly from the United States to Israel unless you have like special permission and you, and getting special permission. You know, speaking of Aliyah, the good news is that 4,000 American Jews made Aliyah this last year, which is the most American Aliyah since 1973, which is wonderful news. And we are so overjoyed that all of these wonderful people have come. And here in Judea, we've seen many, many new people who've come straight Aliyah, straight to Judea, to be part of the beautiful story and to live here in the beautiful mountains of Judea. That being said, I've heard some kind of unpleasant stories, speaking of blockade. I've heard some unpleasant stories from people about the runaround and the difficulty of like doing the bureaucratic stuff to make Aliyah.
Right. Like that was like what they told you like years ago, like, oh, Israel bureaucracy. And you thought that it like would smooth over.
Yeah,
it
would kind of calm down. And now there's like touch pads and you don't have to fax stuff anymore. You can email it and, you know, it should be easier. But I've heard some crazy stories recently of.
From reputable people,
people that we know personally who have no stake in making a stink about Medina Israel, about the state of Israel, who've given us kind of nasty stories about, copies of files, and then this department didn't know that they had opened a file for this person already, and the person had two files. They're losing their documents.
Steve Levitt at Jewish Press, whose own mother is trying to make Aliyah, told me that he has now recorded many a stories from the Jewish agency of them mysteriously losing files. And
right, it's a sort of like incompetency which could freak a person out.
Right, incompetency is the best case scenario, but there's another scenario.
No, come on.
Yeah, I'm going to speak it out. And that scenario is that not everybody in Israel wants American Olim. Why? Because they're more religious, they're more nationalistic, they have a more liberty mindset, and the bureaucrats in these entrenched positions at the Jewish agency and other places, and I've seen them and I've met them, and I know exactly what they're about, those guys.
You really think you're here throwing down a conspiracy theory saying that these people are trying to actively thwart American Aliyah?
Yep. That's right.
Don't think so.
I definitely think so, and I definitely know these type of folks, and I think that Israel is not a liberty-based regime, and it's based in a more bureaucratic, more socialistic/communistic kind of mindset. And today there is, I'll tell you the truth, this is what people don't understand. Immigration, migration is one of the most powerful issues in all of history and in our time. The questions of migration, I'll give you an example. In America, they're all about bringing a lot of Mexican and other South American people because they vote Democrat. So Democratic Party is interested in them. Here in Israel, Lieberman is interested in bringing in Russian
Slavic people
who are oftentimes not Jewish or have a very tenuous relationship to Judaism. I don't mean in their personal, I mean who is their mom and who is their grandmother, that type of thing. And why? Because we know that they vote for his party. The jihad in general, one of the principles of jihad is immigration. Okay, you emigrate to a new place and you take it over. We've seen them do it in Europe. We've seen them do it in London and in Paris, etc. Migration is an incredibly powerful thing because 4,000 new American Jews in Israel is a lot of force.
Right, and if you meet American Jews, you also know how incredible they are.
They are powerful.
They are so powerful and full of energy and full of resources and full of ideas, and they don't easily get defeated. And so, yeah, they're definitely a force to be reckoned with in the best possible way. But Yishai, the things you're saying might really scare some people listening to the show. So how is it that you can advocate for people coming and putting themselves in a situation which you call not based on liberties?
Despite that, there's a value of Jewish people, for a Jewish person, there's a value of living in this great land and in this great time. And the Torah of the land of Israel is not like the Torah of outside of the land of Israel. The people of the land of Israel are the most fabulous people in the world. And the state is still protects us more or less.
The God of Israel certainly protects us more than less.
And this is a great time. And so if you want to tell me that you're coming here because of economic opportunities and because of liberties for an American Jew, I'm like, no. There are some liberties here, and there is economic opportunities here, but not like in America. It's like if you want to put that equation out there, I'm going to be like, no, it's not exactly right to say that it's a better equation per se here than in you know, South Florida. I wouldn't say that exactly. I would say that there's a great value. There's a great thing that happens to your neshama. There's a great promise that's being fulfilled. Your children will likely be much closer to everything spiritual and meaningful in this world. They'll grow up strong. They'll grow up healthy in the Holy Land. They'll grow up in what the Torah portion calls the land of milk and honey. And they can also be part of bettering the great state of Israel and making it that great thing that it can be.
Right.
But
and that's definitely something that I think Olim should recognize. All Olim should recognize. Now, it used to be more obvious that you come to the land of Israel to contribute because there wasn't much here. But now that there's really a lot here, it's being treated like one of many countries. What's in it for me?
Right.
And while there is a tremendous amount that is in it for you, and I think that you listed you hit on the main points of what's in it for you, really you have to understand that we're still building this thing. And so you're right that the highways are mostly laid down and there's lots of tall buildings in Tel Aviv and going up in Yerushalayim, but there's more to do and there's more to achieve. And the question is, are you coming to the land of Israel just to get what's good, or are you coming to Israel also to give some good?
Right. That's right. Absolutely correct. And there's another thing, which is a Jewish person has an internal compass, an internal sensor of civilizational health. And I was in America now. And you know what? I actually saw not a little bit of civilizational health still. I saw plenty of
America's a super nice country.
Yeah. I saw plenty of civilizational health. But like the future, where it's going, and American Jews have a greater challenge than, let's say, French Jews. If you're a French Jew, you're like, Mayor, this thing is not working out, you know? And the same thing with Russian Jews. You're like, you know, no, it's not a good country really so much for us. And British Jews, you know, they're like, okay, you can still make a living here, but it's not exactly awesome. And you have to kind of cover up your kippah, that type of thing. And American Jews, if you send your kid to like college and stuff, then you are going to come across civilizational decadence, certainly. But on the day to day, there's a lot of still normal, decent life. But if you have that compass healthy and it's not like covered in desensitization, you're like, the future is in Israel. The future of the Jewish people is in Israel. I want to be part of that future and I want my kid to be part of that future. And by the way, I say this for people who are not going to make Aliyah, which is make sure that your kid is plugged into the story of Israel. For example, I have a good friend, Masha, who heads up this organization called Club Z, and they have actually a conference coming up. And their conference is all about connecting young people to Israel and Zionism. And this conference is January 14th through 17th in Miami.
Ooh.
That's right.
That's fun.
Why didn't they ask me to speak? I don't know. Anyway,
well, they probably
National Club Z Conference, a weekend of Jewish identity, Israel, and leadership. 3 days of inspiration and making new friends from across the country. Pool party and barbecue, okay? So that's what it says on the sign. So if you want more information on that, check out Club Z. They are doing great stuff. And you can write to me, Yishai@YishaiFleischer.com. But they're an example of, and they're also geared a lot for like Russian-American Jews, but not just. But they're an example of people that want to be strong in their identity. But of course, everybody understands now around the world where I've been that the future of the Jewish people is Israel. That's the center of the Jewish future. And you want to plug into that. So some people are going to plug into that by making full aliyah. And I'm telling you right now, they're going to try to block you and you don't let them. You go for the blood sport and win. You know what I mean? You get in there and win. And if you can't do that, then find every conceivable way to plug yourself into the story. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I hear that. And I want to really send a blessing out to all those Jews and non-Jews out there. We have a friend out there, Jake, who was just supposed to get on a plane to come to the land of Israel after a long time. And he'd been waiting and he'd been excited about it. And we were talking about it. And we were supposed to see him.
Yeah, he was supposed to stay here.
And
that's right. I got nixed. He got
total
nixed.
Cancellation.
That's right. That's right.
I'm on a WhatsApp group here in my town of women. So one woman is like, my stepdaughter's mother wants to come for her birth, for the birth of her like grandchild. What does she do now? And it's like, well, you fill out this and this and this and this. And another lady is like, I want to go. My daughter's having a baby in America and I'm scared if I go, I won't be able to come back. What do I do? And people are just like,
crickets.
Like nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Well, actually, I just want to say that there are some people who know. Number one person right now out there, and really, God bless him, is Dov Lipman.
Yes, he's really doing some like activism on this level, and I really appreciate that because it is a dark, cold, lonely, confusing world when it comes to international travel.
Dov Lipman will help you break.
Yeah,
and
he's on Facebook. You can look him up, for all you Facebook people. Dov Lipman, Lipman.
Dov Lipman, former Knesset member. He's doing great job.
He has, I forgot, it's called like Yad LaOle or something. Yeah. He has like a new organization which is meant to like help immigrants who are like jaw on the floor, confused, don't know how to.
I will interview.
Which is kind of surprising that he needs to have this organization. I want to like raise a shout out to Nefesh B'Nefesh and all the other Jewish agency and all these organizations
Nefesh is not going to do
that are supposed to be helping people. I just want to say like, hey guys, like you guys are totally awesome, but what's the deal? Like people are floundering and people feel so alone.
And that's why Dov Lipman stepped up. That's all.
Right.
That's why people step up. And you know what? I'm going to try to interview him for next week's show.
That is a good idea. I'm sure you'll have lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Actually, I'm excited about that. All right. Malka Fleischer. I know that this stuff is stressful. You have kids. We have kids. In the school systems and all that kind of stuff, and I know that it's a little bit stressful. The new edicts that have come
down—they're clamping down again. And I don't know about you guys, but I have—I think what they call pandemic fatigue or something. Like I'm done. I'm way done. I'm all the way done. I'm done. I'm done with this. Yeah. Moreover, they're talking about this Omicron, which is like they're like I saw some somebody sent me a forward of they covered it in the news. Like a screenshot of their TV screen. They covered it in the news. What are the symptoms? It's like runny nose, sneezing, fatigue. And you're just like, I get that all the time. Like,
it's called seasonal allergies.
Yeah, seasonal allergies. I'm not going to burn down the rainforest for it. But it's like, I just, this is not to say, and I know this is like such the sensitive topic and vaccines, not vaccines.
You know what?
And all that
you
stuff.
Know what? I get nervous about talking about this stuff.
But I do want to say that I think that I feel confident in saying that these closures are way, way too much. And I think for people who, you know, they talk so much about health and health and health and health. And we're doing this for your health and it's your health. And it's like, do you not realize that there is such a greater issue of health? And people's like mental, I don't like talking about mental health because I don't know how
societal health.
It's just like, it starts to make you nuts and sad and lonely. Our little boy, Yisrael David Mordechai, he is supposed to be getting his Sidur in school. And it's like a whole party and the parents come and, you know, everyone has their phone out and they're taking little pictures and everyone's so proud they get the first Sidur. They just notified us this week that the parents will not be invited to this party. No parents. And I basically was on a public bus transportation. I may be a little bit of an emotional person also, and I like take things hard.
Do not touch Malka's sitter party moments, okay?
So I'm like crying on the bus. Yeah.
You don't understand, Malka. She does not.
Texting to the you know principal of the school, who's the loveliest, nicest lady, and it's not her decision. And she.
Wait.
Yeah.
What about doing it on? We'll be on Zoom. We the parents will be on
so
Zoom.
So they might do something like that. They might do something like that. But like, is that the, like, can you just imagine a room full of children like waving at the cameras with their parents? It's just like, why are we doing this? And you know, for all of you who are parents out there, let's just commiserate for a second. It's like your kids have missed out on stuff and your kids have been pushed up and down and sideways, class, no class, mask, no mask, Zoom, no Zoom, want to go to school, don't want to go to school. It's been like parties, no parties, sleepovers, no sleepovers, bat mitzvahs, no bat mitzvahs, bar mitzvahs, no bar mitzvahs. It's no, it's not nice. It's not a nice way to be raising the kids. And I'm trying to be cool, but that is not my natural setting. My natural setting is to be mad about this stuff.
All right. All right. I totally understand.
You know, I guess it's time for parents also to just learn to be strong. And
there's a way to overcome this right now, Malka. We have to celebrate. And we have a holiday coming up right now, December 25th. Okay. We're going to be celebrating December 25th this year in two different ways. Number one, it's Settlers Day. Okay. It's the day when a Jew was born in the second Commonwealth of Israel in Judea. He was born in Bethlehem.
Second Temple period.
And so Second Temple Jew born here. And you see, that means the Jewish people have been here for the last 2,000 years.
We acknowledgement.
That's right. We celebrate Settlers Day. I tweeted this thing and I call it, I say, Mazel Tov, are you getting ready for December 25th, Settlers Day, celebrating the last 2,000 years of Jewish life in Judea? And then I had a little, what's this thing called? A GIF. It's called... And then you see a guy that says, okay, it's settled. I'm like, exactly. So that's one way. And that's like a more cutesy political way, but I actually have a more spiritual way of celebrating it. This is to help my Christian friends and the like move into a more what you might call the Old Testament way of thinking.
Torah thinking.
That's what I would call it, Torah Bible way of thinking, which is King David Day, International King David Day, also born in Bethlehem. And a root of Messiah, and it's like let's actually use this moment.
Pick a different persona,
right? Let's get together around King David, and I want everybody this December 25th to
we
say
can
L'chaim.
All get behind King David.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to diss anybody, and I'm not trying to say anything bad. I'm saying
let's get together on King David.
And for God's sake, if somebody deserves an international holiday, it's King David. You know what I mean? If somebody deserves a L'chaim, and one of my realizations throughout, my job in this world is to bring the consciousness of Eretz Yisrael, to bring God's presence into Eretz Yisrael. And I realized that I have another, third wing of that, which is to three legs.
That's not enough legs.
No, it's good. That's a triangle. It's a very stable,
So it's a
form.
Furniture, not like an animal.
Right. Not an animal, no, furniture. And the furniture is the table and the third
leg. But like an IKEA, like a cool one.
Oh, yeah, really cool. Like a yin-yang table. Anyway, the third leg is King David. We've got to bring King David consciousness into the world and certainly into Israel. King David
that
consciousness.
That would be great. It's true. King. You know, by the way, speaking of David, I was reading a little article on what are the most popular names in Israel. So it happens to be that Muhammad is the most popular, which kind of made me laugh and kind of didn't make me laugh.
But there's probably no Muhammad Finkelstein.
I think it's just such a universally accepted, everyone names their kid Muhammad.
Yeah.
Who is Aaron.
Or Menachem Mendel. Those are the two.
So the Jewish, the next one or whatever that was Jewish was David.
I want to see that article.
People like to
you
name
must
their
send
kids
me that
David.
Article. I need
it happens
to
be that the most popular name for girls is still for years already. It's Tamar.
But it's Muhammad V. David.
Interesting.
That's what it is, Muhammad V. David. I might call the show that. All right, folks, you are listening to the Yishai Fleischer Show. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors, including Prohibition Pickle, JewishPress.com, and, of course, the Hebron Fund, HebronFund.org. Please support the Tomb of the Fathers and Mothers, the foundations of Jewish peoplehood, and the strong Jewish community there today. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Please buy me a cup of coffee if you don't mind. Buy Malka a cup of coffee by going to
drinking coffee.
Thank God. buymeacoffee.com/Yishai. It's a way to support the show. And it's a great way to support Torah going through the internet.
And you sign up when you buy us a coffee, then you also sign up to get Yishai's frankly really cool emails.
That's right.
Just once a week.
There you go. And also, if you want to donate to bigger projects, including the Israel Biblical Highway, including beautification projects in Hebron that other people can't do exactly, all kinds of beautiful things that we're doing through our projects. And, of course, the show, that's at YishaiFleischer.com. Check out the donate page. We have every single way to get the money out of your wallet and into ours. Anyway.
Into our 501c3.
That's right. And actually, it's really...
And we're very clean with your money.
Yeah, that's right.
Be'ezrat Hashem.
And things go to get
yes,
things
we,
done.
Yes, we try very hard to be
things
straight and
done.
Narrow.
That's right. That's right. All right, folks. So that is great stuff that you're a part of when you're listening to the show. And you're part of, most importantly, the great broadcast from the sky, from the heavens. coming down to the earth, which is Hashem. He's broadcasting 24/7. All you have to do is tune in and get your blessings from the land of blessings. Malka Fleischer, thanks so much for being with me. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to all of you. God bless and lots of love.
Rejuvenate yourself with Rejuvenation, hosted by Eve Harrow. New episode every Tuesday on the Land of Israel Network. Each week, Eve interviews a new fascinating person, highlighting their personal stories. That's Rejuvenation with Eve Harrow, connecting Israel's past, present, and future on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.